Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We continue our sermon series in the book of Ecclesiastes, and today our title is Pleasures Are Meaningless. Based on Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we read these verses, the words of King Solomon. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was meaningless. I said of laughter, it's madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? And I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine, how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do these few years of their lives. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I bought male and female servants. I possessed flocks and herds larger than everyone who preceded me in Jerusalem. I collected for myself silver and gold and the pleasures of men, many concubines. And all my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold from my heart any pleasure. Solomon concludes, thus I considered all the activities my hands had done, and behold, all were meaningless and a striving after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Today we continue our sermon series on the book of Ecclesiastes written by King Solomon. And in this book, he challenges us to look at a certain aspect of life, both from the lens of a believer and of an unbeliever. Last Sunday's sermon was everything is meaningless. And today, a subset, pleasures are meaningless. When you look up the word pleasure in the dictionary, here's the definition. The state of self-gratification, frivolous enjoyment, diversion, amusement, fun. And when you look up the word fun in the dictionary, here's what you find. Activity that amuses, a lack of serious purpose, that which elicits temporary laughter. Now, I am not saying, and more importantly, the Bible is not saying that pleasure or fun are bad things. It's healthy and good for each of us to have something in our life that puts a smile in our face and a hop to our step. But here in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon helps us see that when pleasure becomes that which is most important to us, when pleasure becomes the final factor before any personal or family decision, when pleasure is what defines our life, when pleasure becomes our God, then our life becomes meaningless. Solomon says this about that kind of life. He says, I found it was meaningless, a striving after the wind under the sun. Now, we did it in last Sunday's sermon. We're going to do it again in today's sermon. We'll listen to the words of a modern, secular, that is, non-religious song that encapsulates the theme of our sermon's message. Today, we listen to a song from 1993 by a singer by the name of Sheryl Crow. The title of the song is All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun. On the pink insert in your worship folder, please take out that pink half-sheet insert. Follow the lyrics as the words are played over our sound system and see if you can do some detective work at what her message really is. Let's play the music and I'll be seated for the moment.
Before I die, since the man next to me out of nowhere, it's apropos of me.
Song, we meet a woman at a bar. It's Tuesday at noontime. She's drinking a beer with a complete stranger. And this man who calls himself Bill shares with her his philosophy of life. Here's what he says. All I want to do is have some fun before I die. Well, she then contemplates his life. And she contemplates the lives of the people she sees out the window of the bar washing their cars at a car wash. She contemplates her life and life in general, and then she declares what she says finally is the final meaning and purpose of life. You heard it in the chorus. All I want to do is have some fun. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. All I want to do is have some fun. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. All I want to do is have some fun until the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard. Well, there you have it. It's pretty clear. Apart from a faith relationship in the true God, apart from and pushing aside any values that are eternal, seeing that all there is in life is the here and now, then pleasure is the answer. And even though it may only last until the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard, this fleeting pleasure, don't you see, is all that I have, even though I know it'll finally fail me. Now, Solomon warns us about this common philosophy of life, every bit as common to him 3,000 years ago as it is for us today. And Solomon should know something about pleasure. He was king in Jerusalem, powerful, successful, wealthy. He tried all the pleasures this world had to offer. He lists them in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. He says, I tried wine and women and palaces and slavery and property and silver and gold. Now he looks back over his life and he declares, and behold, all was meaningless, a striving after the wind. Again, things in life that bring us pleasure and enjoyment are not bad. But when pleasure becomes the final factor in all our decisions, when pleasure defines our life, when pleasure becomes finally our God, then we are in trouble. Because the God-named pleasure will finally one day abandon us and let us down. The sun will come up over Santa Monica Boulevard. And pleasure will be here today and gone tomorrow. Martin Luther said that a God is what anybody looks for their final good. A God is what we look for to give us meaning and purpose in life. A God is what we fear, love, and trust above everything else. Solomon reminds us that pleasures and happiness are gifts from God, but they cannot become God. Pleasure may bring us brief happiness, but God is the source of true and lasting joy. And there's a big difference. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is here today and gone tomorrow. Depending upon outward circumstances. When the sun is bright and shining, I'm happy. Ask my wife. When the skies are cloudy and gray, I'm sad. When someone likes me, I'm happy. When someone doesn't like me, I'm sad. When my team wins, I'm happy. Haven't been too happy lately. When my team loses, I'm sad. If I feel good physically, I'm happy. If I feel sick, I'm sad. It's true for all of us. There's a difference between happiness and joy, because joy lasts. Joy is not dependent upon that which is fleeting, what so quickly changes, what's here today and gone tomorrow. Joy is a gift from God. Joy is the realization deep down inside each of us that God loves me, that God is with me, that God is for me, and that nothing can ever change that. Joy is a true and lasting contentment based not on this quickly changing life, but upon the eternal and all-powerful and all-loving God. This joy is yours, dear believer, even when fleeting happiness and laughter are absent. Joy is so much better than pleasure or happiness. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says this, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Philippians 4, verse 4 reminds us, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say, rejoice. Isaiah chapter 60 tells us, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You will see him and be radiant. Your heart will rejoice." And in Luke chapter 2, listen to what the angel said to the shepherds in Bethlehem. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Joy is always connected to what God does for us, especially in the sending of him who is joy in human flesh, Jesus our Savior. By his death on the cross, his rising from the grave, he brings us what we really need in this life. Forgiveness for our sins. Strength in the time of sadness or hardship. Victory over sin, death, and the devil. And the sure and certain promise of life with him forever in heaven. Now, Solomon himself says that what is real joy? What is really lasting, what is so much better than this life's fleeting pleasures, is a relationship of faith with God that leads us to eternity. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, listen to what Solomon says. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity into each of our hearts. And once the true God is Lord of our life, and matters of eternity really matter to us, then pleasures can be seen for what they really are. Gifts from God to enjoy, but not to rule our lives. Ecclesiastes 7:10 encourages. Listen carefully. Solomon says, "So, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." Translation, go for it. Enjoy the good things in life that bring you pleasure. But remember, pleasure no longer defines us. Pleasure doesn't rule us. The absence of pleasure does not wreck our lives or our days, because we know the joy of the Lord is our strength, whether pleasures are here or not. I end today's sermon with two things. Two simple verses from Ecclesiastes and also a pastoral confession. They're related. Listen to verses 2 and 3 of chapter 7. Solomon writes, listen carefully to his words. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. Sorrow is better than laughter. Solomon tells us that in the long run in life, heartfelt tears will do us more good than fleeting laughter and parties. Coming face to face with things like loss and death, with trust in God, will produce a deeper character in us and a richer soul in us than just, all I want to do is have some fun. And here's the pastoral confession. Give me a funeral any day over a wedding. Why do I say that? Weddings are nice. I've had 4 weddings, and in the next couple of weeks, I'll have 2 more, for a total of 6, the most in the short period of time in my 40 years of ministry. 6 weddings, wow. Weddings are nice. They can be enjoyable, and they can point to God's goodness. But far too often, people attending weddings pay little attention to God's word as they get caught up in the clothing. Oh, what's she wearing? In the decorations, isn't that nice what they did there? And all the pleasures in the party and the celebration afterward. But at a funeral or a memorial service, people can't help but come face to face with what really is eternal and really important. God's word can address them at their deepest level and draw them to a loving and forgiving Savior and to matters of eternal joy. So yes, dear Lord, today we gather and we thank you for all of our earthly pleasures, for those things that put a smile on our face and a hop in our step. But even more, we thank you, dear Lord, for your joy, the joy of the Lord that is eternal and that no one or nothing can ever take from us. The joy of the Lord is your strength, in the name of Jesus. Amen.